Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, you're worthy.
Hallelujah.
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 God, you're worthy.
Hallelujah.
God, you're worthy. Lord, we love you.
Yes, Lord.
We adore you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give a hallelujah in your spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you. Lord, you're worthy. God, you're good. Hallelujah. Lord, you're faithful. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We just invite you to dwell in the presence of the Lord this morning with us. We want you to get a hallelujah in your spirit anyway. We want you to declare the glory of the Lord in this place, be in your body anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're worthy. Hallelujah. Join in with us. Hallelujah.
As we continue into worship, Lord God, we open our hearts, Lord God. We open our minds to receive a touch from you, Lord God. One of your promises is you are omnipresent. So, Lord, thank you for being everywhere all at one time, Lord. Not only are you everywhere all at once, Lord God, but you are strength like no other, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are my strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, Lord.
Yes, God.
Strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me.
One more time.
You are my strength. Strength like no other.
Yes.
Strength like no other reaches to me.
Help me sing it.
You are my strength.
Strength
like no other.
Worship you, Lord, right now, Lord God. We love you, Lord God, for being a strength like no other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. My heart is filled with thanksgiving, Lord God. My mouth is filled with praise, Lord God, because of who you are, Lord God, and what you've done for me and what you have planned for me, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you have set aside my future, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that everything that you allow your children to touch, Lord God, will be prosperous, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We come right now with a heart of thanksgiving, Lord God. Just begin to wherever you are. Thank God for all he's ever done for you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you're doing right now. And thank you for what you're going to do in the future, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God.
With my hands lifted up. Bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up, and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
Up, everyone.
With my hands lifted up, and my mouth filled with praise.
Hallelujah, Lord God, with a heart of thanksgiving,
with a heart of thanksgiving.
I will bless thee. Command yourself
thee,
to bless the Lord.
He's done great things. Let's declare that.
He has done.
For me personally, I just love that you have done things in the past, you are doing things right now, and you are going to do things in the future. That makes you relevant, God. That makes you relevant and up to date and present and great. Your name is great. You are great. The things you do are great. Hallelujah. And because you are great, and there's a part of you in me, that means I am great. And because there's a part of you in each and every one of your children, that means if you are connected to God, hallelujah, you are great. You can do great things. You are destined for greatness because your Father has destined you for greatness. Your Father is great. So Lord God, I thank you for being a great, great Father. I thank you for being relevant. I thank you for being present, Lord God. I thank you for being who you are. And because of who you are, we're able to be all that we are, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you continue to touch our hearts, touch our minds. Help us to continue to renew our hearts and renew our minds so that we can begin to see us like you see us. Amen. In your Son Jesus' name, we truly, truly pray, Lord God. And give thanks.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.
Bless his holy
name. I will bless your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I will bless your holy name. Lord, you're so good. Yeah, Jesus. Oh, bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. I will bless your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you're so awesome in this place, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, your goodness, your mercy, hallelujah, follows us every day of our lives, glory to God. We bless you in this place today, hallelujah, Jesus. For there's none like you, there's none like you, no, not one, hallelujah, Jesus. You're awesome in everything that you do, glory to God. You're perfect, Lord God. You cannot fail, glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you always lead us to triumph in you through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we bless you in this place. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, 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 glory. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Hey, oh, I will bless. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, you're awesome, Lord, you're awesome, yeah, 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 yeah. I will bless. Lord, you're so good, you're Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful God. Awesome God, hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you so much for your presence in this place today. We thank you for all that you've allowed us to experience in you, with you, during this time of worship. We thank you for your liberating word that sets us free. Indeed, glory to God. We thank you for the word, Father God, that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our spiritual men, our spiritual women, glory to God. And we thank you, Lord, today that your word is sown on good ground, hallelujah, Jesus. That good ground being our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable in your sight. You're our strength and our redeemer, Holy Spirit. We thank you now that you go before the word, that you do quicken us in our innermost beings so that we can spiritually discern and receive with meekness everything that the word is sharing with us in this place today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I stand to be used by you, that you do stand up in my body, that you do think with my mind, that you do speak with my mouth, glory to God. That you flow through me to say and do in this place everything that Abba, our Father, Jesus, our Lord and King, desires for you to flow through us to say and do in this place today. Father God, we thank you that your word has free course in this place. We thank you that no satanic hindrance shall hinder the free flow of your word in this place today. We honor you. We bless you. Give you praise for all things. In the strong, mighty, perfect name of Jesus, we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. Well, come on, let's bless the Lord in this place today. Hallelujah. You can bless God in your own homes today. Glory to God. Wherever you are, if you're in your cars, on your job, if it's allowed on your job, bless him today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we say good morning to friendship, and we say good morning to all of our social media family and friends that's joining us today, that's been joining us today for the last few weeks. We honor God for you. We honor God for your presence, and we just honor God that you would tune in to hear a word from the Lord, even to enjoy this awesome worship that we've experience in this new day. Somebody say amen. I bless God for our worship team. They're diligent. They're faithful. Hallelujah, Jesus. and they are what we describe as true worshipers. Amen. Somebody say amen. Well, today we are in week number 5 of our teachings entitled Words, specifically how words impact our lives. Amen. Last week we finished up a couple of weeks of teaching entitled Words Can Liberate. Amen. And we often share this particular title from a general perspective and from a spiritual perspective as well. Amen. We need to understand that principles, somebody say principles. Principles are basic, broad truths, amen, that can be applied anywhere. Somebody say anywhere. In any areas of our life, they can be applied in our Christian walk with the Lord, but they can also be applied in our home lives, in our work lives, etc., etc. So we thank God that His Word impacts us, amen. And we thank God that positive words impact, amen. And unfortunately, negative words impact us as well. So hopefully somebody received a word over the last couple of weeks from our teachings on words can liberate, that liberated them in some area of their life. Somebody say amen. Now today we want to talk about, still from words impacting our lives, that words can change our lives. Somebody say it with me. Words can change my life. Now, in this case today, we will be talking about the preach word. Somebody say preach word. And when I use the term preach or preaching, I'm not talking about any particular style of preaching. Amen. But I'm talking about just standing flat foot or sitting, however you declare it, proclaiming what thus saith the Lord. Amen. I'm concerned in a lot of instances in a lot of our churches that we are in bondage to different styles of teaching. Amen. We need to understand that it's not the style that has the power to impact us. Amen. Even though some preaching do get us emotionally stirred, and we do shout, we do run, etc., etc. But it's not the style that impacts us the way that God desires to be impacted. It's the word itself, or the word of God itself, or the word of God preached, proclaimed, made known publicly, that does the change. Somebody say amen. I think Isaiah said it this way in chapter 55, verse number 11, that the word will not return unto God void. Amen. But it will go forth and accomplish the purpose that God set it forth to accomplish. Amen. So it's not the style. It's not the way that I say it. It's not how eloquent I can or cannot say it. It's the word of God. It's what God says that carries the power to make the change in our lives. Somebody say amen. So today we want to look briefly, or as long as the Holy Spirit would allow us to, at the ministry of Jonah. Jonah the prophet, Jonah the Old Testament prophet. And what we want to say about Jonah from the onset of the preached word having the power to change us is that Jonah was called by God with one purpose. He had one charge from God, and that charge that he had from God was to go to Nineveh and share a word from me to the Ninevites so that the Ninevites can get an opportunity to turn from their wickedness and turn to God. Amen. So we want to look at the life of Jonah, Jonah's ministry, and we'll start by looking at Jonah's call and Jonah's response to his call from the Lord. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Jonah was called by God with one, glory to God, message to share, amen. And let me just throw this in parenthetically. When we preach the same thing over and over again, oftentimes our folks get get upset with us. They think we can't preach. They think that we're not studying. We're not spending time. But all the time, God will call us with just one message, amen. And we need to preach that message until such time as the message get into us and make the change that God desires to be made in us through the word that we are proclaiming or making proclamation of. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1 says, now the word, somebody say the word. The word of God came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, we need to recognize that Jonah's call was through words, amen. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, we see the call through visions, etc. But Jonah's call was through words. Somebody said through words. Remind me of my call, amen. I remember that the Lord was putting two pieces of scripture in my spirit as he was calling me. One was the spirit of the Lord is upon you, amen. And the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, amen. He was saying to me generally, and I didn't get it until after I really accepted the call, he was saying to me that my spirit is empowering you to do a work for me. Somebody say amen. And there's nowhere in the whole wide world that you can run to that you can get away from, amen. So in essence, you need to submit to me and do what I've called you to do, amen. It might be a word for somebody. Somebody might be running. Somebody say amen. You can run as long as you want to, amen. But you need to understand that when God is in control, amen, your fight will be futile, amen. At some point, you will submit, amen. Somebody say amen. So the word came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, verse number 2. And the word simply says to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And this is what I want you to do. Cry out against it. Somebody say amen. Nineveh was a great city. Say great city. It was large in size, amen. It had a lot of people, I think the scripture says, at least about 120,000 people that had cattle, et cetera, within it. But it was a great city, amen. However, it was not only great, but it was wicked as well, amen. There were some wicked practices going on in Nineveh. They were worshiping idols, and they were doing other things that were contrary to the will of God. Somebody say amen. And God wanted to give them an opportunity to turn from those things. That's why he would raise up a prophet by the name of Jonah to go and share a word with wicked Nineveh. Amen. I need to help you to understand something today. And that something is this, that all unrepentant, wicked people are enemies of God. Amen. All people who hadn't turned to God, that's in a wicked state, are enemies of God, amen. However, it's not God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he would send a word to a wicked people so that a wicked people can turn to him and change their ways, if you will. Somebody say amen. So God sent God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, if you will, to cry out against their wickedness because the Bible declares that the wickedness had come up before him, amen. I know sometimes we think God don't see it, but God always sees, amen. And sometimes wickedness can be so great, if you will, until it gets to him where he is, and he decides, in the heavens, in the third heaven, and he decides to do something about it, amen. These kind of things make me wonder. I wonder if the evilness, the wickedness that's been perpetrated upon people in the United States of America by evil leadership, by evil people, if you will, I wonder if that hasn't got to God and God has decided to do something about it. Amen. I'm wondering if this pandemic is not from God, but it's allowed by God. I wonder if this pandemic is not a way of God telling people in the United States, even all over the world, that he knows the wickedness that leadership is doing to people, and it's time for that wickedness to stop. Somebody say amen. I believe he's trying to get something to us, amen. And I believe, I'm not saying this is Holy Spirit inspired, I believe that when people will see what's going on and decide that they're going to repent from the top to the bottom, amen. I believe that we might see some relief from this pandemic that we're in the midst of, amen. So wickedness gets to God, amen. And in a lot of cases, God decides to do something about the wickedness that's going on in the lives of people, amen. I'm reminded of Israel. Israel was in Egypt for 430 years, amen. And they were oppressed, depressed, suppressed, mistreated, and all those things, amen. And they cried out to the Lord for 430 years, but somebody remembered the covenant and reminded God of the covenant. And then God moved on behalf of Israel and delivered them from their bondage, amen. If some of us just learn to remember the covenant, amen, and remind God of the covenant that he's made with us, amen, I believe that soon and very soon that God is going to move on behalf of all the people. Somebody say amen. So wickedness had come before him. Verse number 3. And he told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to preach to the people. And the reason why Jonah didn't want to preach to the people, because Jonah sort of knew how God operates, amen. He knew that if the people would turn, God would relent from the punishment that he was going to put upon them, amen. So instead of Jonah going to Nineveh, Jonah knew that God's mercy was for everlasting, glory to God. But Jonah knew that God was slow to speak and slow to wrath, but Jonah also knew that God could be merciful in different situations. Somebody say amen. Amen. So instead of Jonah going to Nineveh, the Bible says that Jonah hopped on a boat, amen, and went as far from Nineveh as he could go from Nineveh because he didn't want to see the wicked, evil people's lives change, amen. Verse number 3 says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, amen. Now, even though he knew something about God, even though he knew that God could be merciful in situations, I guess he went thinking that there was nowhere that he couldn't go from God, amen. The psalmist declares in Psalm number 139, verses 6 and 7, that if he would have taken his wings up to heaven, God was there, amen. And if he would have made his bed in hell, God was there as well, amen. So that there was nowhere that Jonah could get away from the presence of God, amen, however he tried, amen. So verse number 3 says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Bible said he went down to Joppa. Joppa was the seaport place where he could catch the boat, amen, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, amen. So Jonah heard the call. Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, so he decided he was going to book up. He was going to go as far east as he could so that he could get as far away from west as he could so he wouldn't have to speak to Jonah, amen. So we see Jonah's call and Jonah's response to the call. And secondly, hallelujah, we see God's response to Jonah's rejection. Somebody say amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 4. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 4. Amen. Now, when God really wants somebody, he'll shake up everything, amen, to get that person that he wants to get in order for them to do the task that he desired them to do, amen. It's not that somebody else can't do it. It's that it's God's will for that person to do it, amen. So he's going to make it uncomfortable until such time as we submit and do what he calls us to do. Somebody say amen. So verse number 4 says, but the Lord. Somebody say, but the Lord. Jonah was running to the left, but the Lord. Somebody say, but the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, amen. The Lord created a storm just for Jonah, just to get Jonah's attention, so that Jonah could turn unto him and do what thus saith him. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest. Somebody say tempest. On the sea. A tempest is equivalent to a hurricane. Amen. God sent a hurricane. Say 100 hurricane. And God can move in the wind and in the waves to get his will done. Amen. He sent the hurricane to shake up everything that was going on around Jonah. Glory to God. So that Jonah could submit to him and do what thus saith him. Amen. Now, it's amazing to me. God was shaking up everything. And Jonah was on the ship. Jonah got on the ship. He was in the bottom of the ship asleep, while everybody around him was being affected by what God was doing to get Jonah's attention. Somebody say amen. And sometimes when God wants you to do something, he'll shake up things in a way where it'll impact your friends. It'll impact your family, amen, because he's going to get his will done no matter what he has to do, especially if you're chosen, amen. Somebody say amen. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Somebody say amen. So the rest of chapter 1 talks about what the people around Jonah experience as a result of Jonah being disobedient. Amen. They were scared. They threw cargo off the ship. They were praying to their gods and all of those things to try to get the wind to cease, or the hurricane to cease from disrupting their lives. Amen. The captain of the ship realized that everybody was up there but Jonah. Somebody say amen. And he went under the ship where Jonah was sleeping, and got Jonah up and say, man, you need to pray to your God too, amen. Maybe your God can do something about this hurricane that we are going through. Jonah told the people that the hurricane was because of him. It was because he was running from the Lord. He was running from doing what God desired him to do, amen. Conversation went on, and at some point, the folks said, we've done everything we can do, so we got to throw him over so that we can get some peace in this situation. Somebody say, man. They threw Jonah over. And as soon as they threw Jonah off the ship, verse number, I believe, 15 says that the hurricane calmed, if you will. As soon as they got rid of the problem, the situation ceased. Somebody say amen. Sometime in order for the situation to cease, this is the word, somebody got to get rid of the problem, amen. I don't know what your problem might be, but sometime in order for... My God, I hear that, Lord, but I don't think I need to say that to the folks. I try not to say things about certain people, amen. But sometime, in order for the situation to calm, in order for the problem to cease, we got to get rid of the problem. Somebody say amen. Amen. So they got rid of the problem. The sea calmed, and the people began to praise God because they realized that he was the only God that was able to calm the storm, amen. Now, even though Jonah was thrown off the ship in the midst of the hurricane, God preserved his life. Why did he preserve his life, Michael? It was because he had something for him to do, amen. Sometimes we can find ourselves in rough situations. We think that we're going to die, amen. But if God has something for us to do, I'm talking to you, if God has something for us to do, he'll preserve our lives so that we can get it done, amen. So God preserved Jonah's life. Somebody say, God preserved Jonah's life. Let's prove that. Go to Jonah chapter 1, verse number 17. Amen. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Somebody say, a great fish. When I was growing up in church, they were always talking about Jonah and the whale. When I was a little boy, Jonah and the whale. It wasn't until... a few years back that I learned that it wasn't necessarily a whale, but it was a big fish, amen. But not only was it a big fish, it was a prepared fish. God knew that the men were going to throw Jonah into the ocean. God had prepared a special fish that could swallow Jonah up, and Jonah could go into this special fish, if you will, and remain there until such time as he repented and decided to do what God desired him to do, amen. So God can prepare a fish, somebody say a fish, in the ocean to suck you up, glory to God, to keep you until such time as you say, I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord, amen. So the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Almost sound like Jesus, glory to God. Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days, somebody say amen. And 3 nights, and then he was resurrected. Somebody say resurrected. Resurrected. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, yeah, and 3 nights. Somebody say amen. Amen. While Jonah was in the belly, he decided, oops, It's time for me to repent. Somebody say repent. It's time for me to change my mind. Somebody say change my mind and do what God desired me to do. Amen. Chapter 2, in the first part of chapter 3, records in the book of Jonah how Jonah prayed to the Lord. Basically told the Lord, I'm sorry. I want to do what you want me to do. So have mercy upon me, basically, and let it be done. Somebody say amen. After Jonah repented, the Bible declares in Jonah chapter 2 that the fish spit Jonah up on dry ground. Somebody say dry ground. After the fish spit Jonah up on dry ground, the Lord commissioned Jonah again. Somebody say amen. He called him. Somebody say he called him. He called him again and told him exactly what he wanted him to do. Somebody say amen. Jonah chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, how many times? The second time, saying, verse number 2, arise, I still want you to go to Nineveh, boy, go to Nineveh, that great city, that big city, that city with about 120,000 folks in it, that city with cattle and herds in it, amen, and I want you to preach to them the message that I tell you, amen. Verse number 3. So Jonah arose, and Jonah got up. The fish had spit him on dry land. He got up off of himself, glory to God, and went to Nineveh in agreement. Somebody say according. According meaning in agreement, according to the word of the Lord, amen. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. It was big. It had lots of people, and it took 3 days to walk through it, amen. So we see Jonah's response to God's second call, glory to God. And next, we want to take a look at the word, somebody said the word that God gave Jonah to share with the people of Nineveh. And then shortly after that, we want to look at Nineveh's response. Somebody say amen. Verse number 4. Verse number 4. And Jonah began to enter the city. He's gotten up. He's made his way to the city. He entered the city on the first day's walk, amen. And listen to what he said. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He cried out and said, yet in 40 days, go back to verse number 4, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. He didn't preface it with an introduction. He didn't close it with a climax. He didn't give 6 points in between sharing the word. He just said what God said. He just said what God said because he understood that there was power in what God said, amen. And if God said it, that's truth, and it will come to pass, amen. Sometimes, somebody say sometimes. Sometimes as preachers, we just need to get up and say what God said, amen. Sometimes we don't need to try to prop it up. Sometimes we don't need to try to fix it up. We just need to say, God said this, amen. He didn't even say, thus said the Lord, amen. He just said what God told him to say, amen. The word is sufficient. Say it's sufficient. It's all powerful by itself. Somebody said by itself. All we need to do is learn to speak what God says or what thus says the Lord, amen. So Jonah said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned. Somebody say amen. So Jonah proclaimed to Nineveh what thus said the Lord, and the next thing we see is Nineveh's response to the word of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Verse number 5, remember, Nineveh was wicked. They had a lot of people. As a matter of fact, they had a lot of riches, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't matter what class you're in. When God gets ready to send a word to turn you from your wickedness, guess what? He will do what he desires to do or what he wants to do. Somebody say amen. Verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Say they believed God. Or they had faith in God's word. Amen. He didn't have to preach the sermon 3 times. He didn't have to repeat the points. He didn't have to put it at the end. Amen. They heard what he said and they had faith in what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So the people of Nineveh believed God. And after they believed God, they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Somebody say amen. Sackcloth was indicative of the fact that they were in a place of repenting. They were in a place of mourning. They were in a place of getting ready to turn to do what God desired them to do. Somebody say amen. Verse number 6. So one they believed, then the word came to, they believed, and they began to repent. Somebody say amen. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. This word don't apply to me. I'm too big for this word. He's just talking to the people, amen. He ain't talking to me. But the king heard the word, glory to God, and arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and said in ashes as well, amen. The king believed the word, and the king began the repenting process. Somebody say amen. I wonder what would happen. I think I might have already said it. I wonder what would happen if repentance began to break forth in the United States of America from the White House to the most common house, amen. I wonder whether or not God will speak to the devil and tell the devil to move this thing out of the way, glory to God, so that my people can get back to a point of normalcy in their lives. Somebody say amen. Repentance started from the throne all the way to the most common person. Somebody say amen. Verse number 7. And he calls it the word to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh, but by the decree of the king, and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Amen. So the head man, somebody say the head man. He believed. He began the repenting process. And then he declared that nobody, no beast, nothing within his sphere of influence would do nothing but fast and wait and see what the God of heaven would do. Somebody say amen. So the people received the word. They heard the word. They received the word. They believed the word. They began to repent. And the next thing we will see is God's response to their belief and repentance and fasting. Somebody say amen. Verse number 10. Verse number 10. Amen, amen. Then God saw their words. Somebody said their words.
It really got my attention that he didn't hear their words. Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you for the balance of my days. Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise to you, I'll never do it again. He didn't hear any words. What he did was, he saw their works. Somebody say saw their works. Somebody say he saw their works. He judged their belief, their repentance, by what he saw as it relates to actions. Amen. Somebody say amen. So sometimes you're saying you're going to do something, but your actions don't follow what you say. Amen. Which means your belief system needs to be impacted. Amen. Somebody say amen. If your belief system is really impacted by what's being said, in most cases, there will be an action that follows, amen. So they really believed God, amen. They really repented, and God saw their works. Somebody say amen. God saw their works, that they turned from what? Their evil way. They turned from their wickedness, amen. And listen at what God did, and God what? Relented. Somebody said, well, God don't change his mind. Yes, he will change his mind, amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, after he saw the thoughts of man were continuously evil always, that it repented him that he made us, amen. And he did something about it. Somebody say amen. So God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Somebody say amen. So they heard the word. They believed the word. They repented. That is, they made a change. Somebody say amen. And we know it because God saw their works. Amen. Now, I need to give you the rest of the story. Somebody say the rest of the story. They repented. They changed. But it was temporary change. Somebody said temporary change. In about 100 years, they were back to their old ways. And because they got back to their old ways, God wiped Nineveh out. Somebody say amen. But they changed. Even though it was temporary change, they changed. Somebody say amen. Now the message is entitled, How the Preached Word Can Change a Person's Life. And the truth of the matter is, the preached word, the word that the preacher proclaims, the word that the preacher declares to the people, has the power to change the lives of the people who are hearing it. Somebody say amen. I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 4 about the gospel being preached to Israel. But the gospel didn't do them any good because they did not mix faith with what they heard, amen. If the word is going to do us any good, we have to mix faith with what we hear, or we have to believe what we are hearing from the Lord, amen. I guess the first thing you got to reason with yourself and come to the conclusion in or with is that it's God's word. Somebody says God's word. Somebody says God's word. And I guess the second thing you need to reason with yourself and understand that God's word has the power to change me. Somebody say amen. So God's words can change us. Somebody say can change us. But we have to respond correctly to his words if it's going to make a change. Somebody say make a change. Number one, we got to believe it. Well, I guess number one, we have to receive it. Number two, we have to believe it. And then, glory to God, repentance has to take place in our lives. Amen. Now, for a long time in the church, I was taught that repentance simply means to turn away from what you're doing incorrectly and turn toward God by doing it correctly, amen. But as I've studied down through the years, I understand that repentance have a greater meaning than just turning, amen. Repenting carries the connotation of the mind being changed, amen. Somebody say the mind being changed. And it is concluded by most of us that if the mind actually changes, that the behavior will change, amen. That's why God spent so much time telling us in his word that we need to renew our minds, because he's trying to change our belief system so our belief system can change our actions, amen. I hear somebody saying, well, Pastor, I've been reading and studying the word all of my life, and I've been listening to the word even longer, if there's a such thing, amen. And my life's still not changing, amen. I submit to you that you might have a belief problem. I've heard a lot of things that I hadn't believed, and they didn't impact me in no way, amen. I don't believe nothing you're saying. And because I didn't believe what was being said to me, guess what? It didn't impact me at all. Somebody say amen. And then I've heard a lot of words. Somebody say word. And I've read a lot of words that I believed, amen. And because I believed it and allowed it to work on my mind, my behavior changed. See, the word is seed. Somebody say the word is seed. And when the word is planted in good ground, somebody say good ground, the word can produce what God desired for it to produce in us, amen, if we will walk it out in our living. Somebody say amen. So if the word is really rooted, if the word, Michael, really gets rooted, amen, it'll make a change. Somebody say make a change. Now, oftentimes when the word is sown in us, there's all kind of stuff on the inside of us that's hindering the word from producing, amen. Sometimes there can be old teachings, old lifestyle that we don't want to get rid of. Sometimes it can be weeds or bad teachings that's been planted in our lives. If we cannot pluck those things up or renovate our minds by throwing those things out and allow the word to get deeply rooted in our minds, in our hearts being our thinking, you know, we studied that, our hearts being our thinking, our feeling, and our decision making, guess what? You'll be reading and nothing changes, amen. So the word can change us. They change us. Specifically, the preached word. But there's about two or three things that I've already stated that has to happen. Number one, you got to receive it. Two, you got to believe it. Two, you got to allow it to work on your mind. Amen. How do I allow it to work on my mind? I meditate on it. I heard it, but I'm still thinking about it. Nothing is stopping me from thinking about it. Amen. I'm meditating on it. I've meditated on it so much until now it's way down on the inside of me, amen. And I'm striking out living what I've heard. Somebody say amen. So the word has power. Say the word has power. The preached word, particularly if we would learn to mix the right ingredients with it. so that he can make the change. Somebody say amen. So the preached word can change our lives. See, it can change our lives. Not a particular style, not how we say it, but it's the unadulterated word of God that has the power. Somebody say has the power. A lot of times we think it's always what's written, but God can place something in our spirits that he would have us to say. And what he would have us to say that he places in our spirit can have the same impact as what is written, amen. Now somebody got to meditate on that for a while and see if they're going to receive it, amen. Remember, Jonah didn't quote scripture. Jonah didn't talk about what was written in the law. Jonah didn't talk about what some other prophet had said. All Jonah did was spoke what thus said the Lord. And what Jonah spoke brought about the result, brought about the change that God desired in the life of the Ninevites. Somebody say amen. Let us pray. Father God, we honor you, glory to God, for your liberating, life-changing word. And Lord God, we thank you that if we're good ground, if we receive, believe, that the words work on our minds. In most cases, the good behavior that you desire will fall into glory to God. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much until we're never too far out of your reach in order for you to send the word that you desire for us to receive. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Perhaps there's someone out there in social media land that's not saved, and you desire to be saved. The word of the Lord to you today is you can be saved. And it's so simple. If the Lord is drawing you, all you got to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Scripture says, you shall be saved. With the mouth, the Bible says that man confess unto righteousness. And with the heart, we believe. Somebody say amen. So if you've confessed, you believe, trust God that you are saved. And God will begin to do a mighty work in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that person who's received your word today. We thank you that they're saved. We thank you that the Lord, by way of the Holy Spirit, is right now beginning to change their lives. And that they will see it as they move from day to day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me encourage you, if you got saved, you need to get yourself connected to a Bible teaching church. If you don't know of a church that you connect to, you continue to connect to this one. By way of social media, by way of Facebook, if you will, and we will continue to teach the word of God to you as God gives us the word to share. And believe me when I say this, if you're listening, if you need a word from the Lord, God will impress upon our hearts to share that word with you. Amen. So until next week, have a great day. Have a prosperous week. And we'll see you on next Sunday, same time, same place. Amen.